Explanations of church you hear tonight in this class. So just be prepared. I don't need you to look for anything too deep right now because it is as deep as it is already. And spirituality and religion and traditions of men have made, and you know, scripture says, made the word of God none effect. And the word of God, remember, is not a thing, but it's a person. You are the word. You are the word of God. So it's made you ineffective because of traditions, because of over-spirituality. And so it puts it somewhere else other than where you are. It puts reaching the presence of God somewhere other than inside of you. So it puts the glory in the air, and now you have to go float somewhere to get it. And so it's really dispersing. The quickest way for me to not get you to do something is to point you in the wrong direction. If I can point you in the wrong direction, you'll never find what you need to find. Or you'll never know what you need to know. If I can get you to look somewhere else, you'll never see the things you need to see. And so over time, I think in church and as church, we've done that. And we made a lot of hoopla about a lot of things that Jesus didn't say. And we made a lot of big to-do about a lot of things that Jesus did not implement. So therefore, we're derailed, we're off. We're on the side of a road. We feel spiritual, but no effect. We have a form of godliness, but the power isn't matching up. We say God Almighty is our Father and everything, but the power doesn't match up. It doesn't seem equal. We say that we have this and have that and have the right to do this, but then it doesn't. And then we, when it doesn't show up here, we say, well, faith is, you got to be patient. You got to wait. They that wait upon. We start pulling out all of the scriptures. And Jesus says straightway, suddenly, immediately. At that same moment. And so we have to stop giving ourselves excuses of why we're weak. And stop giving ourselves excuses of why we don't have more fruit. They say a tree should bear fruit after its kind. He said, if you abide in the vine, then you bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, you get purged. Are you understanding me? So we have to stop making excuses. Everybody say no excuses. Excuses are the crust of the uncommitted. I'm not committed to be more than I am, so I make excuses about who I am. And so we have to stop putting it out. Even sometimes, and I even realize that we use Jesus' name, or we use the Holy Ghost, or we use God the Father as an excuse for us not doing something that we should do. You move the mountain. Stop asking him to move it. You speak to the tree and curse it because it's not bearing fruit. Stop asking him to do it. You yield to the power of God. I understand we read our book and it says a portal. Your church becomes a portal from heaven, right? Well, the only reason it's a portal because you're the portal because you're here. There's nothing going on here when you're not here. When we turn the lights off tonight and we leave out of here, it's going to be lights off and the air conditioner running. Ain't no angels dancing there waiting on y'all. Ain't no great move of the spirit. Who going to know anyway? What's the point of that? Would that be a waste, wouldn't it? Or the Father, wouldn't it? Yeah, it's only a special place when you're here. And why is it such a special place when you're here? Because a special place is you. Stop giving ourselves excuses. Stop deferring. Stop pointing somewhere else. Stop waiting for somebody else to preach to us and lay hands on us to get us together. So the deferring. And so the church has moved from a deployment center to an employment center. I don't even know what to call it, like a hospital. It's moved from a place of learning more and more about who you are and going out and being that to somewhere you're trying to come in to get something. So now you bring everybody coming in to come in and grab something, and we're never teaching them about who they are because we don't know who we are. Scripture says, greatest commandment. What's the greatest commandment of the law? He said, love the Lord your God all your heart, your mind, your soul. Now, right there, when you do this, is when you find identity. Love the Lord your God with what? How much of it? All of what? Your heart. Come on, keep going. Your mind, your soul. What's left? Anything left for you? I'm talking about like for you, the other you. You know they got another you, right? Yeah, I know they got another you, right? Y'all know the other you, right? Is there anything left for that? See, we've been infested with the system, and we don't know it. We've been infested and infected by the system, And we don't know it. I look at the scripture the other day and it said, you know, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving, marriage, buying, selling, building, planting, and the flood came and killed them all. I said, well, that wasn't nothing bad that they was doing, but they was doing stuff that the system said they're supposed to be doing and didn't catch the Son of Man. Didn't. And it said when the Son of Man is revealed, they didn't catch when Jesus was revealed in them. Just kept on doing the things that everybody said they were doing. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your renewing of your mind. But we've taken in so much, and I'm gonna show you the handicap. We've taken in so much of systemized thinking. We've been trained in it from kindergarten on now. They trained us through school systems, through political systems, even through religious systems. We've been trained one way, and now we're so caught up on the reliance that we don't be who we're supposed to be. Talked to a young man the other day, and he said, "You know, sometimes hands get laid on me, but I don't feel." I said, "No, I just don't feel anything. I know I believe the anointing, but I don't feel it." I said, "Well, your problem is you're trying to feel it from the person and not from the inside." So the man lays hands on you, the Spirit of God as well. Inside of who? Inside of who? Me, you, anybody else that don't have it? Anybody that got more than anybody else? For God has dealt to every man the measure of how many men? All men, the measure of faith. Everybody got it. Right? So, if I'm laying my hands on you, if you don't look for the power coming from the inside of you, then you're waiting for me to be some great hope. When in actuality, I may just have more understanding of my power inside of me that ciphers the power on the inside of you is why your legs get weak. Because you're dealing with a level of power from the inside of yourself that you hadn't touched before. It makes sense, don't it? See, this is what's happening. I think if we portray this and teach this way more, then there'll be more deliverance. Your great healing lines. Well, they're great. They got a great healing anointing. Well, you do too. You the anointing sectioned off in you? You got sectioned off anointing. When he told us that? He didn't tell us that. It was never told that. Jesus never told us that, right? So now, physician, heal yourself. So now I'm going to lay hands on you. Now, y'all been in church for a while, huh? Y'all been in church? You ever seen a big healing meetings on TV and different things? You never hear them say much about thy faith to make you whole, huh? Come on. Come on. You'll never hear much about it. Nobody explains that. Nobody puts the ball in your court. They say you believe, but believe in me. I get it. I understand. But the power is on the inside of you. See, if you don't believe, then my belief is an assistance belief. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Remember that? He said, I believe, but I ain't my belief. I ain't always that. So now I'll take my belief and I'll assist your belief. But I need your belief because your belief is going to get it done for you. And I'm speaking of this because we have deferred. So we know we're waiting for a great preacher to come and save us. The new reverend. He the new hot reverend on the block just because he on TV. And we're missing the point. So Ephesians 4 says this. It's not therefore a prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now he's talking to every single person in there. To walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. To walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Watch this. With all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And I'm going to go back to why we need love to forbear one another in certain situations. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. There's one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is where? Above all and through all, through who? All and in who? You all. Verse 7, but as everyone of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I need you to go and take your time and read this and slow down for yourself. Don't read it like you know it already, because I'm going to tell you where. We're going to get down to the part, our favorite part, where every joint supplies. But I'm going to tell you why. If that says every joint supplies, why is every joint not supplying? And maybe we're trying to bring power from another place other than the place of where it is. So now, it's very absolute about walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You see verse 1? Like you walk, look at me. You walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So you don't have to walk worthy of the vocation which I'm called. It's another problem we have is comparison kills. So now you see the reverend doing good, so now I want to be a reverend. Or you think the preacher is making more effect in the world, so you want to be a preacher now. You know, the church is not just relegated to preaching. Amen. The church is not just relegated to pulpit preaching or ministering or laying hands on people. It is not just relegated to this. But you ain't got church unless you got a preacher, huh? Ah. Yeah, because we got to be a reverend. Where's the reverend? Well, the reverend can't show up today. You the reverend. You know what reverend really means? You know where reverend come from? Reverend come from the word reverence. That means there's some honor there. That you revered. But you only become revered when you're doing something that's worth being revered. Now we do the, you know, you're a reverend. Now I called you a reverend. You know what I'm saying? Now I call you reverend, whatever. But it's deference. So ways of men, a lot of things that come in and creeped in and put stuff in. And now there's somebody that's being left out of the equation. And it becomes you. It becomes me. It becomes everybody. If you get left out, I'm left out. I don't care how anointed I am, or how anointed I believe I am, or how many people say you did this, you did this. Nobody cares. Because if you can't do it, then we're losing. If you can't be the same thing that I'm being, and I can't be the same thing that you're being on that level, then we all are losing. So we live in a society that always wants a king. We make a big deal about a president or a leader. We make a big deal about that leaders should be reduplicating themselves. We make a big deal about it. We do. And we like the star players. We love everybody. We like Michael Jordan. We don't nobody talk about Horace Grant, Tony Kukoc, Dennis Rodman. I mean, nobody talks about these guys, but we love Michael Jordan. He's the GOAT. Michael Jordan can't be put him on the court by himself. 1-on-5. Can he win? No. Michael Jordan, the best ever. Can he win? Put him on the court by himself. He cannot do it. Jesus couldn't do it. Whoa. Well, I'll show you. Uh-oh. Because that's not how it was built. The Father didn't build it that way. Come on, who you think the greatest whatever? They cannot do it on their own. So there must be some other coming upness. I mean, that's the word I got to use. Coming up to par. What word of the vocation way with you a call? So now we got to find out what vocation we're called to. Huh? We gotta find out who we've been called to be. And really, what happened is it's only calling what he put inside of you already. He's calling up out of you. It's already been there. It's been there since the beginning. Jeremiah's talking about, he said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out the womb, I ordained you. With no ordination service. Before you came out the womb, I ordained you. He said, I ordained you. Ain't no man ordained you. I ordained you. See, ordination works like this. I've been around a long time. Ordination works like this. If you get ordained a word like Christian, then, you know, you can use that clout. You know, now you got apostle. So now he ordained you. So now when you go somewhere, you can say, I've been ordained by apostle. So whoever respects apostle is going to kind of open arms to you. So it's like a cosign. Huh?
Yeah, right.
Amen. Come on, y'all. Come on.
Right.
When Jesus say, I ordained you. When the Father say, you have no need for another man to ordain you. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? But these are the things we don't hear. These are the things we don't discuss. And so it causes a separation from the power that worketh on the inside of you. So you can't walk worthy of the vocation with you a call. Oh, thought lowliness and meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And I've highlighted forbearing one another in love, because you got to forbear one another in love when one another ain't coming up to par. Ain't going to be nothing but love to keep you from getting aggravated. I don't know how Jesus walked with these jokers this long and didn't get aggravated. Never said Jesus was aggravated and Jesus was trouble. And they probably didn't write those scriptures because, you know, some of them wrote it, so they didn't want to say that he was aggravated. I'm sure between the line, they say if everything that happened with Jesus was written in the book, the world couldn't hold it. So I'm sure somewhere in between the line, he probably was like, Like a couple times, like you know when he came walk on the water? We like the story, huh? Walk on the water. Well, the way that story started was he was preaching and he sent them away. He told them, Y'all go ahead, cross, I'm gonna meet y'all on the other side. And the people were still there. They need to be ministered to. So obviously y'all was in the way. Y'all, look, just get on the boat, just go ahead. Y'all go ahead, cross, I'm gonna catch y'all on the other side. Y'all remember he go pray in the garden, he only took Peter, James, and John? He said, rest of y'all still over here. Then he come out and find them. Y'all couldn't stay up. Y'all sleeping? I'm gonna show you something. They couldn't see. The reason you cannot recognize Jesus from the outside. You can't do it. You're not gonna recognize Jesus from facial expressions. I've seen people try to recognize, and I'm still talking about Jesus. I've seen people try to recognize the anointing that's in apostle by all the outside stuff. So if I can match that, then I got the same. No, you don't. And that's an extension of Jesus. He's walking worthy of the vocation wherewith he is called, which should push you to walk worthy of the vocation with which you are. Are you understanding me? So we got to forbear one another in love, because, and you're endeavoring. The endeavor means to exert oneself, to give diligence. You're exerting yourself to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, because you need peace if people ain't coming up to Paul. Right? You need peace. Ain't nothing worse than working a group project and everybody don't work. It's the worst thing in the world. Ain't nothing worse than being on a team and you know you're working hard and other person ain't practicing. You sweating, working hard, doing everything you're supposed to do, and you know that they not putting in the time. Oh, don't let them be a little talented, too. Come on, y'all military, y'all know. Being in a group, you know the other boy jacking off, he ain't paying no attention. I already know we go out the wall. I do not want to be standing by him. Because he don't listen to nothing nobody say. It's the worst. You won't choke him yourself. Put him out of misery. Get out of the way. Let's just put him in the front. Let him get his first so we can, right? But just like, what are you here for? There's one body, one spirit, even as you're calling, one hope you're calling, one Lord, one faith, baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one, how many of us? No. Because when we're going to jump to verse 11, he's talking about apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. So they got to be talking about them. Right? No. Verse 7, he said who? But every, huh? Every one. Of us. That's a good way to describe who he's talking about. Every, like everybody, every one individual of us. What would it say happened to every one of us? Look at it, read it. What did it say? Oh, it's giving grace according to the measure to give the courage. Now, we don't understand what that statement is because we read it religiously and we say, oh, and we just pass over because we don't really understand it. But it's giving grace according to the measure. What did it say? Measure the gift of Christ. So now Christ has been given us. Grace is Christ. Christ is grace. It's been given to us, but what's your measure? That'll seem like it makes sense, huh? Because you can't tell me you gave every man got the measure of faith, but then ask me what my measure is. Don't make sense, huh? Yeah, but it makes sense if you understand that how much of you are measured as Christ. How much of your mental, if your mentality and your consciousness was a gallon, how much of that gallon is Jesus? How much of that gallon have you poured? How much of that gallon have you given over to Christ? Or let be turned into Christ? Come on, if your mentality is a gallon jug, how much of that is filled with Christ, which is who you really are, and the mentality of Christ? Because right here is where, on the inside of you, this is who you really are, but all this other stuff getting your head. And now you think you're Deidre. Right? You start thinking, what's your name? Come on, say your name. You start thinking that's who you are. But along with that come a lot of junk because somebody else gave you that name. Even sometimes the people that gave you your name ain't know the name. Your last name, where'd that come from? I ain't saying quit or give it away, but I understand move around the system. But where'd it come from? You got a jug, your jug. You still got your jug? Come on, use your imagination. Come on, use your hand. Come on, I want you to use your hand. Come on, you're holding your jug? Your jug, somebody call them jug here, right? Your jug, like right here. Like, your jug, how much of your jug is dedicated to the Father? Because the measure you meet, what happened? Measure it to you. I can't give a measure that I ain't got. Oh, I can't give you, I could have a bank account, a foreign bank account somewhere with a mint, but if I don't know it, I can't give you nothing I don't know. I got all access to pay all your bills up, but I can't do it for you unless I know that I can do it for you. So now you have all things and everybody been giving it, but what's your measure? Where's your mentality? How much of your mind is on that? How much of your mind is on that more than the other thing? All the things that's on your mind for a quick second, all the things that be on your mind throughout the day and all the things you think you need to be doing, think you need to be conquering and think you need to be accomplishing, I want you to stop for just a week. Every time your thought come up, I want you to stop and see where that thought comes from. And can I trace it back to truth? Can I trace this thing that I'm trying to conquer or this thing that I'm trying to accomplish, can I trace it back to some truth? Because if I can't, I'm chasing a lie. I'm chasing a fallacy. But unto every one of us is given. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what? Verse 12, go. Well, what is that? The maturing of the saints. Come on, next part. So passing out, maturing, then passing out the maturity, which in turn is what? That last line, what it is? Because the body cannot be edified or built, or building up the body. If I build this building, right, but I don't finish this room, the building is not built. If I put a roof over everything except this room, we still uncovered. Come on. I put a, man, the roof is amazing. We got the front. You know how pretty the front of the church is right now and all that, and we got the fountain and all this stuff. Take the roof off of this room right here. And what's going to happen when it rains? You know, we're going home a little early tonight, right? Y'all know you don't have a last class, right? Did y'all know that? Okay, you're going home right after this class because the weather's supposed to be getting a little rough, so we got to, right? So let's start raining after this with no roof right here in this room. As beautiful as this whole building is, what's about to happen? Yeah. It's going to be a problem just because this part ain't built up. So now the maturing, then the passing out of the maturity, then the building up. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? For teaching you maturity and then showing you how to pass the maturity out, which in turn builds up the whole body. See, the problem is most quote-unquote fivefold ministry gifts are not teaching you how to mature. They're teaching you good principles and teaching you some good lessons, but they're not teaching you who you are. The only way to mature is not by knowing more. You got people I call professional students. You ever seen them? But they're good at learning. But they ain't good at being nothing. But they know all the steps. 1, 2, 3, 4. They can quote them all to you. Then you go minister somebody in the hospital and they can quote you all the scriptures and die. They knew it. Knowledge of good and evil. Huh? Where's life? You knew it. You're a professional student. But what about being something? So that a maturity is growing up. And it's talking about, I read, it's going, Paul preached it. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. How many of us? Verse 13, till we, how many? All of us. So this got to go on till we all do it, huh? So the intention is for all of us. Oh. Unity of the faith. And so he makes it clear. And the knowledge of who? Knowledge of who? Never seen it like this before. To y'all come into faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I slowed down. I got to, till we all come into the unity of the faith, right? Into the knowledge of what? Of who? Who's that? Who's that? So, I hear Jesus, I hear us. Which one is that? Who is it? Us or Jesus? Which one? Come on, who is it? So you. So it's like Jesus, right? Oh, hey, everybody. See, but now have we not learned that that Son of God, because it got a big S on there, was talking about him? So immediately when you read it that way, you leave you out. So now I've learned so much about Jesus that I don't know who I am. You can be a lifetime student and learn all the details about Jesus. Where he grew up, what he was playing with when he was a kid, and all different kind of stuff. And where you at? Who? Jesus I know. And Paul I know, but who are you? The demons was not asking where Jesus was at. We know him, who are you? Because if, and the reason they ask who are you, I got time to go there. You know the seven sons of Eva, right? I got time to go there. The reason they ask who are you, because that's the question that everything in your life is going to ask you. Because everything is looking for identity. And if you don't have the identity, you don't have the authority. So who are you? And if you, I'm Jesus' friend, you know, Jesus, my savior. Nobody asks you that. Who are you? You don't know? You don't know you Christ? You don't know you? You don't know God your Father too? Because if you don't know, you don't have no authority to be coming here and talk to me. And that's why I whooped you out, tore your clothes up, and sent you back out there where you came from. Are y'all understanding me? Because they were trying to, this, a lot of time we're trying to preach a message not involving themselves. Trying to preach a message to somebody else when you don't know it yourself. This is a modern day church right now. I'm showing you what the modern day church looks like. We got everything down but us. We got everything down to a T. We know how to pray in tongues. We know how to plead the blood. We know how to walk in love, kinda. We know how to be on time. We know what intercession is. We know what glory, the difference between praise and worship. Praise fast, worship slow. Like we know, all this stuff. And you don't know you. And if you knew you first, how many things he said is needful? Huh? Jesus said it. Come on. How many things he said is needful? No. We got to learn grace and faith and peace and love and joy. Praise the word. No. How many things needful? One. Now, what one thing you know that can have all that in it? You. Identity. Christ. See, they call them the fruits of the Spirit. But the Spirit bears the fruit. The fruit don't define the Spirit. You know a tree by its fruit. Yeah, I get it. You know a tree by its fruit, right? Right? But the truth only comes from the identity, not the other way around. So now while you're trying to grab grace and mercy and all these different things and put them together and come up with some identity, the truth of the matter is you already are. And so if you would yield, that would come from you with nothing else. Here's why morals are off. Because we're trying to get all these morals together and we're failing miserably because we didn't know that we are holy. Be ye holy and then sin not. Be ye holy and don't miss your mark. But Jesus was making it easy. Matthew 6:33, seek ye what? First what? Where that's at? Oh, I'm trying to. It's not at the synagogue. God bless the synagogue because we can get together. But it's not over there. It's not over there till you over there. This church, ecclesia, called out. One's called out by a name to carry a name. That's what it means. And then we're gathering together in the name of Jesus. We're gathering together in that same character. Me and you, all of us got the same power. I'm not better than you. Look at me. I'm not better than you. Just because I'm up here teaching you, I'm not better than you. I got more gifting than you. I got more talents than you. Yours just may be different. A different dispensation. I'm not better than you. I'm not higher than you. I'm not greater than you. I just might know something that you don't know, but it's my obligation to tell you what I know. And if I don't ever tell you what I know, then I'm holding you back. I'm controlling you. I'm the slave master. It's been church all the years. I got this special thing over here, boy. Come over here and watch me do this special thing. Been a magic show. Come on. Come over here and watch me do this special thing right here. And you know, in your house, the healing power of God was sitting right there with you. What do you think it means when it says you have an unction from the Holy One and you don't need no man to teach you? What do you think that means? That don't mean you don't learn from nobody, but you can't really learn it. You got to learn it from you. That thing got to stand up inside of you. And my job is to point to you about what's inside of you already. You can't teach God God. God has to realize he's God. Do you catch it? Or did he say it again? If God is in you and you are the Son of God, then I cannot teach you you. You have to realize you. Why we call revelation? Jesus said, I ain't trying to go there. He said, who do men say that I am? So I'm talking about the men. All right, cool. Let's bring it a little closer home. Who you say that I am? Right? So then as soon as he said who he is, Jesus immediately said, okay, when you see me, you see the Father. And if you see the Father, you realize he's your Father, which means you are I can't call somebody a father unless I'm a, I mean, one defines the other. Father defines son, son defines father. So when I see you, I see the Father. I don't see him as God anymore. I see him as Father, which means I see myself as a son, which means I see myself as one. Immediately when he says, who you said? He said, thou art the Christ. And he called it the Christ. Because you know, Christ, they were messing up in the New Testament. In the book of Acts and then later in the chapters, they were calling him Jesus Christ. Wasn't supposed to call him Jesus Christ. Sound like a last name, don't it? That was messing up. It was a mistake. He was always Jesus the Christ. The Christ. Christ came from the word Christos, which means the anointed one. Which means when Christ is a title, not a name, which means you wear it too. But if I keep putting it over there with him, then I know it ain't me. He said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not what? Revealed. See, I can't teach you this. It got to be opened up to you. I got to point you to where the dirt is. Who the dirt? You know, looking for a treasure. Right? I point you to the spot. I go to the map. I get the map and go with you. But I can't. You got to dig for yourself. You got to dig in that spot, in the dirt, to find the treasure that's already in you. Do you think meditation studying is? That's how I can learn more scriptures to throw at the devil. He know I'm better than you. Y'all didn't know that, huh? He knows scriptures way better than you. The difference is he can't live them. The reason he can't live them because he ain't them. See, you are the living word. And immediately, blessed are the sons of the flesh, but not revealed this, but my Father was in heaven. And thou art. And you too. Rock. Peter mean rock, right? I ain't got time to go there, right? But we've done it before, right? And you too, rock. And upon this, you. I'm going to build my concept of the church. It's you. Then the gates of hell are not going to prevail because you're going to be moving out and taking over territory. This is going to deserve another listen. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. This is going to deserve another listen. We leave us out. The Father has to be revealed in you. Push the door. Verse 14, that we hence be no more children, tossed to and fro. Like, remember, talking about the perfecting of the saints, maturity. That we be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftsmen of our lying ways. We know a lot of doctrine, don't we? Come on, y'all. We got a lot of doctrine, huh? We know the rules. We know the rules. We know the steps. We know the orders. We know all that stuff, right? We got a lot of doctrine. What's the problem? But speaking the truth, how? May grow up. And it didn't say, may grow up in all things. may grow up into all things. I'm skipping something, ain't I? Well, look at the scripture, y'all, in verse 15. That say, may grow up in all things. Into all things. May grow up into all things. That's what it say? Grow up into all things. Like, I can grow up in everything I want to grow up. So now look. So look. This is what we're doing. So, because it said grow up into all things, right? Huh? Oh, I'm skipping something? What am I skipping? Oh, I've been skipping him. Oh. I've been skipping him the whole time. Oh, hold on. Calm down, y'all. Right? And they like, light bulb. Oh, man. I prayed, but I skipped him. I did the confession exactly like they told me to do, but I skipped him. And if I skip him, who I skip? So, come on, get a plug. Get the plug. And just do it over here. I know the wire's in there. But I'm not plugged in. So I'm missing the power. Oh, grow up in all things. So what have we been trying to do? So watch this. I'm about to find you. Let you find yourself real quick, all right? First part of using the map is finding yourself, huh? You're gonna find yourself, right? Then we're gonna get on this map and figure out where we at, right? And we already know where we are, right? We've been trying to grow up in all things, and we skipped him. So that's why we've been trying to master the grace. We're trying to walk in love and failing miserably. Huh? But speak good about people and talking about everybody. Come on, I'm guilty. No, come on. Y'all don't want to own it. They're guilty. Get guilty. I done put the walking in faith, but I'd be scared as a mug. What do we do with these thoughts? All right? What do we do with these thoughts? As I think, therefore I am. Scripture, right? What do I do with these thoughts of fear? You said cast them down? How? How I cast them down? Because if I'm casting them down, I still know the over this when I'm looking at them. I'm still thinking about them. Come on. I'm serious. That's good. We say cast down. We cast down imagination of how things exalt itself against the knowledge of who?
Of Christ.
Okay. And what's knowledge of God? Listen. Okay, y'all gotta hear me. You can't have knowledge of God without having knowledge of yourself at the same time. There's no separation. He made it that way. In the beginning, God made man from the dust of the earth. He said, let us make man. Who? Everybody fall in that category, right? Ain't nobody nothing else, huh? It does. And then he said, then he breathed into man. And man became a living soul. Where did that breath come from? So immediately we're made in his image, in his likeness, like him, on purpose. He did it that way. See, we've got to stop the man, the way of the doctrine. See, man has taught us that God had another intention and it ain't never been that way. That came from the tree. Most messages are being preached from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All right, prove to you. We in church a long time, right? What we learn first? Did we learn God love us first or we learn morals first? Come on. We learn right or wrong first or did we learn God love us first? Did we learn right or wrong first or did we learn that God is in us and we're one with the Father? I know you ain't learned that one for a long time. What we learned first? What's the first thing that happened? What's the first thing that happened in the garden? Let us make man in our image and our likeness. And then made man from the dust and breathed into man, and man became a living soul, and then immediately involved him in the plan. Go name the animals. Because you got you can name them. Well, God, you name it. That's what we do right now in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus, tell me what the name is. He said, you pick a name. And that's going to be the name.
Right.
This tree come with the eight out of the tree. And now everything become about good and evil. And what you know and what you don't know. I'm preaching the tree gospel. Read the tree of knowledge of good and evil gospel. Where's life? And whose life? Jesus started talking about Genesis. Genesis was talking about Jesus. Look, John 15, he said, I'm the vine, you the branches. And he started talking about, I'm in the Father and me, I'm in you and me. He's talking about the tree of life. The tree of life is a person. So then abide in life. How are you trying to live life without life? You're losing your life. Y'all understanding this? Grow up in all things. Grow up into all things. Grow up in all things. What did it say? It say who? Him? Him? Who's him? Who's him? Who's him? Y'all know, huh? Y'all confused? Who? I'll slow down. We'll go back and listen to it again. I'll slow down. I'm sorry. Who's him? Who's him? Us by way of what? By way of God through who? See, Jesus said, I'm the... He the way to what? You. He's the... John 14:6 says, I am the way. All that's in that scripture because he's talking about grow up, speaking the truth in love too. He, I'm the way, truth, and the what? Just like that tree of life. Okay. He said, no man comes to who? All right, now, comes doesn't necessarily mean like come here, but it does that too. But also means it's like become, like change into, or it unfolded or revealed, or like come to the light. So no man comes to the light that he's his father, but by so now grow up in the, come on, look at the scripture, come on. 15, chapter, verse 15, right? Grow up in the what? Him and how many things? Nothing, but you got to grow up in him first before you can grow up in all things. Read the next part. So growing up to him, which is the head, right? Who is what? Even Christ. Now, verse 16, I remember it's not a period at the end of Christ. It's a colon. Y'all see? So I mean, all of this is connected. When you got a colon, it's something that you're explaining what you're talking about now. You're explaining where it's coming from and where the first one is from. See it? So now, let me read it fast because we know it. From whom the whole body filled joined together is compacted, but that which every joint supplies is called an effectual working of the measure of every part, make an increase of the body, edify itself in love, because that's how we read it when we read it, because we just want to talk about ministry of helps. But watch this. Verse 16, verse 15, slow down. But speaking the truth, how? In love, may grow up in the who? Not what? Grow up in the who? In how many things? Which is the head even. So now it's making it clear that it's talking about Christ, that you grow up in the Christ, that you realize Christ in you, the hope of glory. That you grow up out of the other stuff. You grow up out of all the other dirt in the Christ and start bearing fruit. Right? From whom? Just those two words first. From whom? We never slowed down. Y'all, anybody ever read the chapter before we came to school? Like before we came to ministry school? Anybody ever read this chapter before? You know, we do it all. I know we did it all for ministry helps meetings. Right? We never slowed down. It says, from whom? It's from somebody, right? From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. You got to slow this stuff down. Fitly joined together. How? Together. Joined. Everybody say joined together. The whole body fitly joined together. Say it. And compacted. You know, compact. Compact. I mean, you didn't tighten it up. Right? By that which every joint supplies. So that means the tightness and the togetherness and the surety of the connection is determined by what's supplied by every joint. So we got one part on this right here and one part over here. Shake my hand. Right? But if you ain't too much of a joint, somebody break that loose. But if I'm like this, right? Now, because of your grip and my grip, it becomes a bigger grip and the body's built. But you can't shake hands by yourself. Shake hands by yourself, you're waving. I just want y'all to read this chapter, slow down. Lord, I'm going to show you so much stuff in here, okay? Because I ain't got time to do it, 2.5 minutes. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. How many parts? Now remember the measure and the work in the measure. Remember the measure? What measure are they talking about? We heard a message a little while ago, didn't we? The measure of the gift of what? Christ. Make an increase of the body of the edifying of itself in love. I had a project. I'm going to run you through this real quick. I had a project, and I saw this thing clear just a couple minutes ago. I saw it clear. I had a project. I was working on a new book for Apostle. So we had a book, and so the way the process works is he'll preach a message, and then we'll transcribe the message with me. We'll write it down word for word, and then somebody has to take the book and then make it to where it's in book form, like it'll read like a book instead of somebody talking. So that happens. One person does this. Now, when they do this, you need what you call an edit. You got to pass it off to somebody else to edit it, which means they got to look for punctuation, misspelled words, all these different things. But just one person a lot of times ain't enough. Some people are really good, but one person not enough. So you got to send it to more people. So I end up sending it to about 10 people. Okay? One person sent it back real quick. I'm talking about no matter 30 or 40 minutes. And they say, I'd have made all the corrections. A couple other people I gave it to just never say nothing to me. They ain't said nothing back yet. They're probably not going to say nothing. And then I got to forbear them in love. Because I asked you to do that for me. Now I got to forbear one another in love. A couple people came back and said what they thought about da, da, da. The first people that I gave it to end up being the last people that finished reading it. I'm at a deadline. I'm trying to get the book done, trying to get it printed, because the meeting next week, all right? You didn't read it when I told you to read it. Finally, you read it, though. And then you found something that nobody else in front of there found. Thank God you read it, but if you wouldn't have read it and wouldn't have read it when I gave instructions for you to read it, then the body would have failed and we'd have put out an incomplete project. Which means that there's something in your eyes that I need. And if you don't measure up, we all gonna make mistakes. We're all gonna put out an incomplete project because you or I didn't measure up, so the joint can't be supplied by the effectual working in the measure of every part. I mean, everybody gotta stand up and be Jesus. Nobody's left out anymore. And if we don't, you're causing others to lose. Amen. Y'all listen. Go read Ephesians 4 and slow down. Read through it. You'll see it.